Good evening, everyone. Welcome to 10 Dead Rats. Thank you for joining us tonight. Sorry about the little hiccups there, but thank you so much for joining us. As you can see, unfortunately, Colleen is unable to make it to the show tonight, so we will be without Yeffie for the evening. Also, this is our season finale. So wow. We will be not streaming next week over the 4th of July holiday. We'll be taking a little breather. And then picking things up right where we left them the following week. So short break for us this time around. We may take a longer break towards the end of the year. And that'll be the end of second season. So a few other things to discuss before we get moving. As always, we are running our... not as always. For the month of June, we are running our fundraiser for the Bail Project. We did have a couple donations show up, so I just want to give a quick shout out to our anonymous donor as well as to Janine Bardo. Thank you so much for your generous donations. Very much appreciated.
Thank you.
I'm posting the link to the donation page if you care to join others in helping us reach our $500 goal. We are closing in on halfway there. $500 was always aspirational for us. We might not make it, but every dollar counts. What else do I have to inform you all, you lovely people, about today? I need to talk really quickly about the utter snafu of last week around the trade system. So, So the interesting thing is that Death on the Reich comes with a system for trade if the players end up traveling up and down the river and want to buy trade goods and trade them at various towns. And it's complex and annoying. And the Tim, whose last name I don't have at the tip of my tongue, they did a great podcast of this series of adventures. He wrote some docs of his own trade system, and I said, great, I'll just take those and I'll just use them. And still, as it turns out, there's a whole bunch of tables and cross references and math to do. And so when it came time for us to engage with them, I quickly found that I did not have enough sort of brain power to focus on that and run the game at the same time, and just completely flubbed all the math. So my apologies. Not only did I slow down the game, I also just did everything 100% wrong. So the worst of it is I vastly inflated the price of coal by like a factor of 10. So there's really not worth that much money. And we're sorry guys, you didn't make 300 crowns worth of profit off of a quick trip up and down the Reich. So I spent this past week going through all the numbers and boiling it out and writing actually explicit lists of goods and their values for every single town that you might visit so that I would have it ready to just pop it out. And then I checked in with my players and all of them said, well, this seems tedious and we don't want to do it, which I fully support. my old writing instructor back in college, Blanche Boyd, would have said that the work I was doing was scaffolding. It's important work that it be there for the story. No one wants to see it. So so I'm glad to have done that work. I have all the numbers, but I think what we're going to really do is just simply boil it down to this. You guys have an NPC with you, Renat, who knows generally a little bit about the trading system. And so she'll be the point person. She'll talk to all the merchants. She will, and she'll just give you big high level decisions to make. And then I'll do the math in between sessions. And so we might be a session behind, but I'll eventually tell you how much profit you've made, if there's a profit to be made. That said, I know Yeffie was driving this, and it's unfortunate she's not here, but I'm going to ask you three to make this choice. Here is the current choice that Renat proposes to you. Okay. She's going to sell off all the coal, and with the profits, you have a choice of one of two things. She can buy a single crate of paper and walk away with a fair amount of coin. Now, that paper is going to catch a very high price, she thinks, in Nuln, but it's paper, and you've got to drag it all the way up the river. Hope that the hole doesn't get wet, because it's a very pricey luxury item that could easily get ruined in the journey. The other option is she can buy 3 crates of metal bars. You'll get less profit right now. You'll get another small profit, she thinks, maybe by selling it in Kemperbad and then pick out something else and then trade that further up the river, et cetera, as you go.
Well, we've already crashed our ship once, so I don't know that we...
So what are the odds that we do it again? Exactly.
Now, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Our ship also didn't get wet. It just got dented, and I'm fixing that. So keep your forked tongue behind your teeth. I vote
it
paper.
It didn't get wet this time.
I also vote paper. Go big or go home.
Metal sounds boring. Deal with it or not.
All right.
Well, I'll use my 2 votes, since Yeffie and I are on the same row here, to vote for the metal bars.
Wow.
Bringing it to a tie.
I'll be a good person.
Oh, dear. All right. Paper it is.
Do you? Because, wait, can you swim? Can Bruno swim, Max?
Yeah. Why not?
No, I mean, does he have the talent called swim?
He claims to be able to swim, but you are pretty sure he's lying.
He floats very effectively.
Cool.
With all the hot air, some would say. Yeah, like a rat. Very much like the noble rat.
All right, so it sounds like you're going with paper. So... you have 1 crate of paper in your boat, and be aware that the boat can carry up to 20 crates or barrels of goods. So holds pretty freaking empty. One little crate of paper down there, which cost a lot of money, according to Renat. However, she does come back with the profits from the coal of 18 gold crowns, 10 silvers, and tuppence. I assume you guys split that up evenly. I assume that's
yeah.
Or do we want like a boat fund?
Oh, we don't maybe it's better that way.
Like not any of our individual money.
Yeah, group,
like a communal
guild coffers here. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah.
The thing in which one dips when one needs it.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Sounds,
so let's get
sounds
a little
good.
Chat.
Great.
Yeah,
I will say, you buy a small lockbox for 10 shillings and tuppence, and you put the remaining 18 gold crowns in your small lockbox.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
You have 18 crowns of funds with which to use in your for future trading exploits. Great. Somebody do me a kindness and write that somewhere, maybe in our chat there, so that we don't forget next week. I appreciate that very much. Great. I think that covers everything that I have to cover. So let's get rolling into tonight's episode of Ten Dungeons. So last week, beyond simply trading, what else happened? Well, we began actually with the party interrogating a peddler named Hugo. They got from him the name Drakilda. Drakilda, apparently operating out of the cracked tankard in Altdorf. So the party continued up to Altdorf, did a little trading. What else? Let's see. A little bit of shopping. There's a new masthead on the being affixed to the boat, which I'm not sure has a name. Have I ever given you guys a name for the ship?
Oh,
yes, you did. But then, who cares? It's ours. We can rename it whatever we want. You did say there was an inscription on it. I don't remember what it was. But it did exist. You did give us a name, but it is irrelevant now because we are ding-dongs.
Great. So, Fury, I'm just remembering that I fixed your framing of your camera earlier, and now it's lost. So I'm gonna just
adjust
that
it's fine. Quick right you now. Don't need it. Okay, there I go.
I'm gonna adjust it. There you go. Okay, we're good. So, okay, great. So at some point, you'll let me know what the name you get painted on the side of the ship in Altdorf is. Meanwhile, in Altdorf, Yeffie spotted an old friend leaving town just as you were arriving. A gentleman by the name of Ernst Heidelman, a physician that you shared a ride with many, many ages ago. Let's see, what else? Bruno passed a test, the proof of which is now pinned to his lapel. Or his smock, the smock of his of his trade. The party tried to track down Drakilda, visited the cracked tankard, was told to come back tomorrow for lunch, and she would meet them. They were then tailed through the city, which they eventually threw off by aggressively running after their tracker. They then finally returned late at night to Franck's place, where he mentioned that he had business dealings with young Ernst Heidelman, who was actually on his way down to Grissenwald, and he would appreciate your checking in on him to make sure that everything that he was up to was on the up and up. And then casually mentions that he appeared to be in business with one Lady Atelka, which the group decided was
right.
Fine, maybe
that's right.
Not sure.
Bad news.
And we ended the evening with the group gathered around at Franck's, raising a glass to easy work.
You know that place,
right?
Yeah. That place that Yeffie would be really useful in.
So
easy work.
We'll begin tonight's session as each of you wakes up the next morning, having returned to your inn, not really remembering how you got there. Spent a night hanging out with Franck, having a little too much fun. Each of you slowly comes to and realizes that there's just three of you in the room tonight. Yeffie is missing again.
I roll over into grasping in the bed.
Is this joke gonna die maybe before either of you do by any stretch of the imagination, or is no Matt Christian's answer is confirming it?
It's not a joke. It's called a romance. It's a romance plot line. What we actually have here is a love triangle in the trope.
Who's the third one?
Elvira, obviously.
I was thinking Orlok, but I assume we're never going to see Elvira again. Complete disclosure, but good. Let's keep up that hope.
It's a love rhombus. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I was going to say. Love
rhombus is a pretty good band name.
Love rhombus.
It's love rhombus.
Yeah, okay. So we're up, and Yeffie is not Adam, and we are looking around, and we're panicked.
Yeah.
Great.
Let's go ask Franck, I guess.
She's probably... Probably still there, right?
You wake up. I will point out you wake up in the tavern in the inn that whose rooms you rented the night before you went to Franck's. If you recall, you stopped at another inn, got some rooms, set up some rooms. Again, apparently, at some point last night, you left Franck's and came back here. None of you have very strong memories of that happening.
Well. Probably fine.
Yeah. I mean, we can go back to Franck's. We got some time before we have our lunch date with the cult.
What time is
I'm very excited for that.
It is late morning. We'll say it's about 10 o'clock.
Okay.
Well, I got some amount of time.
You didn't go to Franck's until midnight. You were up pretty darn late.
Franck's more of a nighttime fella, you know? I don't know that he's going to be around.
True.
Well, we can go check. Whatever.
Yeah.
Or we can go back to sleep because my head hurts a little.
Mysterious. Yeah, in a few hours.
Why don't we do that? I look at Indigo like, let him sleep. We got this. It's okay. Just.
I mean.
Yeah.
Well,
so
we
could
do that. Mm. That's fine. I mean, if you two want to sleep, I'll.
Yeah, I'll go back to sleep. No, I mean, it's a good idea. Yeah, let's do it.
I don't know. Okay, have a good sleep.
Wrap myself up. No, wait. I thought we were all sleeping.
Oh, I mean, I'm not. I got that meeting. I got to get ready for it. Probably gonna
2 hours.
Have to stay with a couple of people. Yeah,
I roll out of bed in spite and just walk out the door. All right, whatever. We're going.
Well, this is going to be a stabbing meeting.
I mean, there's a strong possibility.
Patches starts to whine and scratch at the door.
Oh, we gotta let Patches out.
All right, that's right. Oh, man, all right.
I'll go take Patches for a walk.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Let's walk Patches down to Frock's bar.
Okay.
Oh.
So everyone going? All three of you?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So the three of you get Patches on his lead and... start heading off, walk down to Frank's place. It's a short walk. It's late in the morning again, but it's Altdorf, so the streets are continually busy. It's a very, very busy place. A lot of people moving around, a lot going on.
Oh, great.
You make your way down the few blocks to Frank's. As you approach, you can see, actually, standing in the doorway having a smoke is Boris.
Good man.
Hi, Boris.
Hello. Frank's not in.
Oh, is Yeffie here?
No, she and Frank went out.
But she's with
Frank. Yes. I think they went somewhere. I think they went somewhere with Merkel.
Oh.
Merkel.
All right. She's
fine. No, okay. Yeah. Mm. It's not like go out. All right.
No, there's business. Cool. They have right. business to see to.
Perfect. Yeah.
Can I get you anything? You want some
borscht?
Some borscht.
Some water. Some water for the dog. That'd be great.
Oh, yes. Oh, hello, Patches.
Yeah.
Leans down. Patches immediately flops over and he starts rubbing Patches' belly.
Good dog.
That's a good boy. Who is a good boy? Who is a good boy? Yes, Patches is a good boy.
Okay. Excellent. Boris goes inside and fetches a bowl of water, comes back with it, sets it down on the ground for Patches.
I guess we should go. I don't know. Is there anything we want to do before we go to this meeting?
I don't know. Do we want to just stake out the location and see if anything like else suspicious is going on there?
We could get there a little early so they can't set up a trap for us.
Yeah.
I vote for that. It worked last city. Why not now?
Yeah. All right. That sounds like a plan.
Okay. So you head over to the cracked tankard now, just a little bit early. Okay, so you head over there. As you approach, so it takes you a little bit to get across town because it's all the way on the south side of town. As you approach. Everybody roll me an intelligence test.
Twenty.
Ten.
Also 10.
Okay. All of you notice as you approach the tankard, the cracked tankard there, that there's two guys just kind of standing around outside the door, just to the left of the door, just kind of leaning up on the wall, having a little chat. doesn't seem too unusual. There's certainly a lot of people around, but they're clearly like just loitering. Indigo, you can't help but notice that one of them is wearing a purple scarf around his neck, like a neckerchief that's kind of coming out of his jacket a little bit, and that the other one seems to have a purple belt on. You're not sure if that's meaningful or not, but it catches your eye, and you think of that purple hat that you picked up in the street the other day.
Right. Interesting. I'll point this out to Bruto and Treviano, and I'll say, like, I think they're part of the gang. They're muscle.
Oh. Well, that's fine. They're just having a smoke right now.
Well,
so yeah, we should be propelled.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stay on your toes.
Yeah, you got any of those myriad weapons you bought yesterday? It's a big crate of them.
Oh, no, I'm not carrying them around with me. I just have my normal weapons.
Oh. I should have brought some extra ones. All right.
What, do you not have weapons?
No, I got my weapon. You know, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. Okay. It's just we're going in here one person down, so.
True, but, you know, even if I had two weapons, I can't use both of them at the same time. I only have two hands.
I guess that's true. I guess you could just kind of throw them, like, out of the crate. Just, one after another.
Your character could do that, though, right, Max?
Do that.
Anyone. Let's,
Because your character has dual wielding now, right?
Yes.
It's very exciting. That'll come in handy. We'll keep that in mind as we go forward.
All right, perfect. If only I knew how to use something other than these surgery daggers, but what are you going to do? Not a lot of time to practice sword play and study physiology or whatever.
We'd have to get you a very small sword, too.
Isn't that a knife?
It's basically what it is, yeah. Small, yeah. Very small sword, yeah.
All right, anyway, let's get in there.
Yeah.
I guess I have this sling now. That's good.
Yes. Welcome. And I have this crossbow.
Okay. I gather up some rocks on the street in case the sling does actually come into play.
Okay. Pick up a loose cobblestone or two.
All right.
Slip them into your pocket. Okay. And you're heading in to the crack tankard now? You're still a good at least hour early.
Oh.
Maybe we should just sit and watch.
Yeah.
For like a half hour.
Okay. You find someplace, hopefully inconspicuous, down the block a little bit to observe. Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Okay, great. So you notice as you watch the front of the tavern, those two guys basically just stand around. Let's see if either of them happens to... Okay, so you notice them, they're just kind of standing around. Eventually, you see a woman accompanied by two men walk right up to the door of the tavern. They're kind of flanking her. They stop, and the group of five of them have exchanged a couple of words before she and the two and all she and the two men that she came with all go into the tavern. Go ahead and everybody roll me intelligence tests.
Seven.
19.
15 and a 19. So none of you, unfortunately, are able to actually overhear what they say.
No, I'm sorry. That's actually a 20. Sorry.
20. All right.
That changes it. Intelligence, right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. It's actually a 20.
Okay, Bruno. So you do manage.
The one time. Wow.
Bruno, you do manage to catch that she seems to say, is everything ready?
Yes, they're down the block, two buildings to the right.
Good.
They made us.
and then they head in. You also, you and Trebbiano both notice that every one of them seems to have at least one article of purple clothing on them. That she is wearing a purple hat. One of the men has a big purple sash tied around his waist. Huh. The other one seems to be wearing purple boots.
Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah, a little mud spattered, but nonetheless, those boots, at least when they were new, they were purple.
Wow.
The three of them
head
in.
About to go to war with the color gang.
The two continue to just kind of slump against the wall. And it is now very close to the appointed time. What do you want to do?
Well, they know we're here, but I don't know that it matters.
Yeah.
They didn't seem to mind.
Yeah, I guess we should just go in. I mean,
if they're ready and we're ready, let's go.
Yeah.
We're only going to live till like 30 max, right? Let's just go.
Yeah. If that.
Actually, my species typically lives to around 200, so...
Yeah, I know.
If that.
Well, yeah, you know, right.
All right.
Kind of irrelevant, but thank you for that nugget.
The three of you just headed up to the door? Head in?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On edge.
Okay,
ready great. To hear things.
Great.
Looking up as soon as we enter the doorway, yeah. etc.
Great. So the two men standing outside definitely watch as you approach. But they don't make any move to hinder you or to address you in any way. You walk in through the front door, and you can see the door opens up into a small room. There's less than half a dozen tables here set out. Almost all of them are empty, except for the one in the back right corner, where you can see the woman and the two men that she was. That she came in with, sitting in this back table in the back corner. To your left, there is a bar, and you can see a bartender standing there, just wiping down the bar over and over again, and he's just kind of looking at you. And it's the same guy from that you saw here yesterday.
Supposed to come back today. Yeah.
There are two doors out of here. There's one back behind the door, behind the bar. And then one, just to the right of the table where the woman and the two men are sitting.
Is the bartender wearing anything purple?
He does appear to have purple armbands around, you know, cinching around his bicep.
Show off his muscles.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay.
Indigo will walk over to the table.
Okay.
Trebbiano follows Indigo.
Yeah. Indigo, do your fancy walk. Do your rich guy walk.
I think Indigo is too tense to do his fancy walk right now. He does his normal Indigo walk.
Excellent. So just Indigo, or is all three of you heading over to the table?
I think we're all going.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
And when I get close enough, Indigo will address the woman and say, "Drakilda, I presume."
Oh my god, really good.
She looks up and she says, "Castor, good of you to join us. Have a seat."
Yeah. Thanks.
Fuck. Pardon me. Forgot for a minute. I want a point of order here for a second and address explicitly this is the first time we've been able to use this and it came up like episode 5. I just want to say that we can keep going, resume game, time in. I'm sorry. Just wanted to say that for the world.
Great. That's the one I'm looking for. Okay. There we go. That's what I'm looking for. Okay, great. So, just Castor, have a seat. You sit down.
Thank you. Yeah.
Great. So there's only one open seat at the table.
Stand behind him all sternly.
Okay.
Like a bodyguard would. I probably won't fool anyone, but that's what I'm doing.
Okay.
I'll just go grab a chair from another table and okay. drag it loudly over here.
Kind of wedge it in there and you sit down. Everybody wow. just stares as Bruno does
yeah,
that.
Just, I'm at like this level above the table. But,
I hear you've been looking for me.
We have. We have. The Archlumen wants to know where you have been.
Yeah. That is a very interesting story, Jakilda. And maybe we should just cover that first. Where has Caster Lieberung been this whole time? Caster Lieberung has been dead in a ditch.
Dead in a... You look fine to me, Caster. What game are you yeah, playing at?
He's getting better.
The Lumen is going to be very angry if you don't have his money.
I...
Oh.
I don't know who the Lumen is. I don't know what money he's talking about. I don't know who Caster Lieberung is, really. All I know is that I found a guy who looks just like me, dead in a ditch, between here and Karaburg. And ever since I found that guy, I have been harassed by you people, by people trying to assassinate you, and all sorts of nonsense.
She leans in over the table, and then her hand darts out to grab yours. Okay, she grabs a hold of your wrist and pulls it open and flips it over, and you can see uh-huh. the slightly fading purplish colors, uh-huh. mostly gone, but still slightly faded. And she says, "The purple palm has been passed. Stop fucking around, Caster." I don't know what game you're playing at, but no one believes you. We want our money. And she just releases your wrist and flings your hand back at you.
I mean, if this were a lie, come on, this would be a bold... Right? Nobody would come in here with this as their cover story. I have a twin who's dead. I'm a totally different person, right?
Who is this that person, can only Caster? Be the truth. She doesn't even look at Bruno.
This is my good friend, longtime friend, Bruno Finebottom, Dr. Bruno Finebottom.
Thank you. Mm.
You may need a doctor if you don't give us our money.
Let me guess. I'm gonna take a stab in the dark here. Last you heard from Caster, he had just inherited a huge sum of money from some lawyer, from a dead aunt of his in the name of that terrible town. What was it?
Well, Bogenhaven is where we were, but Ubersreich is where the,
And he was off to Bogenhaven to go collect it. I'll tell you what happened. Caster, again, murdered on his way to Altdorf by a bunch of beast men in the woods. Then, I'll tell you what that whole story was about his dead aunt, because that was also a setup. Another person tried to assassinate him in Weissbruck.
That was a shame, yeah.
That was a shame. That guy's dead now. There is no aunt. Caster has no aunt. There is no money. I'm telling you, Caster is dead, rotting away in the forest somewhere. And I don't want anything to do with you people anymore.
Well, it sounds pretty outrageous to me. And I'm afraid the Archlumen has given me but two choices. I'm to recover our money, or to return to him the head of Caster Lieberung.
Well, you can find that like on you the don't road have between the money. Karaburg and Altdorf.
Or I can find his it right here across the table from me.
That's just a very similar looking head. It is not technically the correct one.
It will suffice.
How much money does Caster owe you?
20,000 crowns.
No, come on. Nobody has that much money.
Listen, lady. I don't know what kind of person Caster Lieberung is, but I promise you I am way harder to kill than he is. So, I'm going to give you two choices, all right? You're gonna leave us alone, and we're gonna walk out of here and never talk to each other ever again.
Indigo.
Bruno. What?
No. Go on. No. Never mind. I like your. I just think this is a really bad idea. Keep going. Yeah.
It's a terrible time to interrupt someone. Anyway, you can let us walk out of here and never talk to us again, or we can have some problems. And like I said, we've solved a lot of problems on our way here. A lot of them way tougher than you.
Well, go if you wish.
Great.
I will not be the last looking for you, Castor.
How is Castor supposed to have 20,000 crowns?
Are you
from the scam inheritance?
You're asking me?
Yeah. We don't know anything about Castor other than his burial place. And I guess a detailed image of his face.
Sorry, Max. Like are you asking me out of character here?
Yes,
or are you asking me
in character? In character. How is he? Sorry.
Look, it's a wild tale you tell. A man who looks exactly the same? It seems very unlikely. Unless you're his brother. In which case, then the inheritance is yours. And you should.
There's no inheritance. The only thing we got out of that trip was this stupid dog.
The dog patches whines pitifully at you, Bruno. Bruno, make me an intelligence test.
Oh, about the dog. Oh no. Oh, 19.
Right. So you, as you're delivering that line, you reach down to just sort of give him a little scratch around on the ear, and he kind of whines a little bit. And you look back, and just over your shoulder, you can see that the bartender is now aiming a crossbow at Indigo's back.
Oh, God. Every time. I just kind of jump on Indigo to knock him over.
Excellent. Roll me a d6. This is an initiative. Roll me a d6. We're going to initiative.
3.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. You leap onto Indigo, knocking him to the ground. There is a twang, and a crossbow bolt comes flying across the room and sticks into the wood paneling of the wall, right next to Drakilda's head, and kind of rattles and shakes. Indigo, what do you do?
I dive across the table at Drakilda.
I mean, you gather yourself up, having just been sort of shoved to the side by Bruno. Make me an agility test, please.
Sure. 1.
Excellent. So from having been kind of knocked aside and sort of wobbly and then leaping for Drakilda, you just kind of slam into the table, and she at the same time kind of steps up, kicking the chair out from behind her, and you're just way short. Trebbiano, what are you doing?
So I have perceived then that Drakilda has been lunged for?
Yes. And a crossbow bolt just came flying across the room and barely missed Indigo. Bruno having pushed Indigo out of the way of the bolt.
Yeah. So I'm going to say Indigo's probably going to take care of Drakilda is my reasoning, and I'm going to go after Captain Crossbow over there.
Okay, great. So you whip around. You weren't even seated, so it's easily you whip around. You see him at the bar, getting ready to wind back up the crossbow. What are you doing?
Anchor time.
Okay. You walk over. Now 20. He does have the bar between you and him, but 20 is sufficient. You clunk
nice
him with the, clunk him with the with the anchor. Give me some damage.
6.
6 points. He goes out like a light. He just as
nice.
Just crumples
Don't
down.
Touch Indigo.
The door bangs open and the two guys from outside come rushing in drawing swords. Drakilda steps backward and the two men on her side jump up and both attack Indigo. Also drawing swords. Indigo, Oh, I got a 2 and a 20. So one of them stabs at you. You jump out to the side, and the other one then catches you across the shoulder. For 6 points of damage. Cutting deep.
Boy, I'm just now looking at my current hit points from the last sessions. I am not doing great. I was not in a position to start a fight, but I think we're here now.
Bruno, yep. What do you do? Two guys walked in through the door. There are two guys that you saw earlier that were hanging, that were lingering on outside.
Oh, I point at the arrow first and I say, "That's what I call a close shave." I'm a barber. For those of you who don't know, the joke works. Okay. I guess I'm gonna. Can I run?
Imagine having to dictate the joke works into your fictional universe.
I run
incredible
up to the bar, and does my two weapon fighting let me use two thrown weapons?
No,
at the same time,
it does not.
Okay.
Let me make two melee attacks or one melee attack and be prepared to.
Be prepared to parry. All right, I'll run to the bar. I'll pull out the sling and I'll go to sling a guy who just walked in the door.
Okay. You can do that. Go ahead and take a shot.
Ever so slightly better at this. 4.
Yeah, the stone misses by a mile and smashes through a window.
It was my first time.
Indigo, what are you doing?
So there's two guys stabbing at me, and Drakilda.
And Drakilda, and there's a table between you and Drakilda. The two guys have circled around the table to come at you. Drakilda has jumped back, so there's a whole big round tavern table between you and Drakilda.
Uh-huh. And then there's two more guys by the door.
Yep.
I am not feeling great, but I gotta do something spicy. Indigo is going to again try to vault the table, and I want to grab Drakilda and get my sword to her throat if I can.
Yeah,
roll me an agility test to see if you can get across the table.
Great. Good idea. Come on. 12.
You manage to climb onto the table. It's much less graceful than you were hoping for. Yeah. You're trying to vault. It gets very clumsy. You kind of end up scrabbling and then drawing yourself, and now you're kind of laying belly down on the table, and you've pushed yourself up to look at Drakilda.
What? This is the worst.
Very inelegant. But you are now on top of the table.
Great.
Tribbiano, what are you doing?
These guys, who's near me?
There's two guys at the door. They're just a few steps away.
How far am I from the door? A few steps away? Okay, guy nearest to me. Do what I can.
Great.
Anchor.
Yep.
That's a 6 this time.
Yeah, you come swinging the anchor, and the two of them immediately part, kind of walking to, avoiding the big swing of the anchor. Then they close around you, each trying to stab you with their swords. What is your armor class?
My armor class is 8.
Then those are both hits. They stab you at either side, each doing 3 points, so a total of 6 points of damage. Where does that leave you?
I'm at -1. That's where it leaves me.
So you're at 0.
Man.
And I'm going to ask you.
Here it comes.
Roll on the critical chart.
So Yeffy's going to come back and we're going to be dead in a bar.
roll me a d8 and percentile, please.
Okay. And your hit points are at there 0. It is. D8?
D8.
Oh, for the thingy,
for the severity of the critical.
Okay, we've got hold on. 32 and 4.
Excellent. Okay, so,
really going with the finale vibe. Thanks, William.
This is where we have the surprise deaths.
Right.
Game of Thrones style. Yeah.
Okay, so the two guys.
Wait, so, okay.
Sorry. So the two guys circle around Trebbiano, who's just coming swinging this big anchor around his head. Woof, it woofs through the air. They step to the side and then each jam their blades into Trebbiano's sides. Oh. One of them, hitting perhaps a vital organ as Trebbiano Trebbiano's eyes kind of roll back in his head, and he drops to the ground, and a large amount of blood starts oozing out in a huge puddle around Trebbiano. Trebbiano, you're conscious. You're conscious, but you're rapidly losing blood.
Trismanon, gonna die. I have led a good life.
Meanwhile, the other two grab at Indigo to try and yank him off the table. Indigo, roll me an agility test, please.
Sure. Been a real win. 19.
19. Okay, so they physically grab you up off the table and pull you off and shove you against a wall. And you kind of get you just get a moment of sort of shock and adrenaline. So you don't take any damage or anything, but they've hoisted you off of the table. But you feel like they don't really have a very good hold on you.
Okay.
And let's see, what is Drakil to do?
I hope she's just a fancy rich person and not a horrible wizard.
Drakilda steps back. She's now standing just in front of that door that I mentioned earlier that was right by their table. She stands back and she rests a hand on the door handle, but she continues to watch the fight unfold. Bruno, what are you doing?
Don't choose Trebbiano. I'm going to metagame here for a second. If you have to choose between Indigo, who has every good stat and is a very good man, and my character, I'm just going to put some out-of-character words in your ear and just gently suggest. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Here's the thing. I also don't have any hit points left from previous adventures. Maybe we should have discussed this before we came in. All right. I run up and I stab two of the guys who are holding Indigo.
Okay.
To be fair, my internet cut out the moment Indigo said "dead in a ditch," so I couldn't be like,
"Oh,
wow.
Oh no!" Oh,
so that's when my internet attention. Cut out.
Oh no!
Yeah.
Oh, that's incredible.
I came back and we're rolling initiative and ready to go.
Oh man! Look, you're gonna have to go back and rewatch that later, Fury. It was a good exchange.
All right.
Okay.
There are two guys holding Indigo. I'm gonna run up and I can choose. After my first attack, to use the second one or to parry.
Yep.
Okay, I'll make one attack on one of those guys.
Go for it.
I'll stab him in the back for +4 and triple damage.
I will take an agility stealthy roll if you have stealth.
I sure don't. Okay. I'll take an agility test
to see if you can slink around behind them. They don't seem to have eyes on Bruno at the moment.
Agility. Ooh, I do have +1 on that. 16.
Okay, yeah, they don't notice you. You can indeed have a... well, now, you don't actually have backstab, do you?
No, certainly not.
Great. So you'll get a +4, but you will not get triple damage.
Okay, +4, okay. Yeah.
Or even double for that. Get normal damage.
It doesn't even matter. And my weapon skill is not, as an academic, has not gone up from 1 at level 3, right?
Your weapon skill is... weapon skill equals level divided by 2 plus strength bonus. So yeah, it should be 2 plus your strength bonus.
Oh, rounded up. Oh. Well, oh, excellent. Okay.
I mean, it's level divided by... You're level 3 now, right?
Yeah, so divided by 2 is, you know...
Yeah, I think it should be...
2.
Yeah, I think it should be 2.
Okay. That right. Maybe... Is my ballistic skill the same thing?
Yeah.
Great. Wow. All right. Hang on a second. That... is not going to matter at all. But 14? 14?
Yeah, 14 will hit. 14 will hit.
All right, and here's my massive 1d4 plus nothing points of damage.
Excellent.
3.
Ah, oh, you give him a good stab. Oh wait, which one was this? This was one of the guys holding
Indigo. Yeah.
Okay, let's see which one it was. It's important. Okay, it's that one. So you give him you stab one of them and he shouts in pain. Ah, and looks down at you. The kid stabbed me.
I'm an adult, and I stab him again. if Indigo's gonna die, we're gonna die together. Damn it! Oh, 19.
Yeah, that's a hit. Yep. Nice. Yep.
End this guy.
4 points of damage.
Okay, he does drop down. Oh, the kid got me.
God.
Those are some embarrassing last words.
I can guarantee my eminent last words are going to be worse.
Indigo, what are you doing?
Great. So now that I have like my arm free or whatever, and these guys didn't have a good grip on me anyway, I'm gonna like draw my sword and cut this guy, the other guy that had me.
Okay, go for it.
Not very good. 12?
12 is not a hit, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. They are wearing leather jerkins, and your blade scrapes against his armor.
Dang it.
Treviano.
Uh-huh.
What do you do, besides bleed a lot?
My vision blurs and refocuses, and on the horizon I see Drakilda, and I crawl towards her. That's all I can do.
Excellent.
I want to get her.
I want to know what she's about. Appears across the floor, leading from the spot by the door all the way to the table.
I assume I've made a wave pattern.
And it kind of goes, you're kind of basically crawling under the table at this point to reach her because she's on the other side of this table. And you're kind of under, you
cover,
kinda, you know, you're under the table, and then you see Drakilda's boots and you start getting closer and you start to see more of Drakilda appear before you. There's one guy fighting Indigo at this point. Another one from the door rushes over to join that fight and attack Indigo as well. While the third one goes, takes his sword and comes after Bruno. So here are two attacks on Indigo. Indigo, remind me what your armor class is.
4.
4. One is going to hit. Something. For 6 points of damage.
I'm at -5.
Roll me. There's again no negatives. No negatives in this game. No. You just go to 0.
Severity is fun.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Roll me D8. So by the way, this roll indicates the percentile is the location and the D8 is the severity of the wound.
Severity.
So how
the percentile is 20.
28, was that?
And yep, and the D8 is a 4.
Gotcha. That's like the same exact thing that Treviano got.
Oh my god.
So another gut shot, sword to the stomach. Oh, you grab hold of your stomach and you feel like you're just sort of keeping the innards in, and blood just starts to pool between your fingers. And you start to go white. You start to go white.
Shoot.
In fact, give me a toughness test, Indigo.
Sure. Is it a test or a save?
We'll call it a save. We'll call it a save.
Great. 12.
All right, your knees start to buckle, and you kind of you slump down to your knees. I don't think I made my attack against Bruno. Here we go, Bruno. Bruno,
that's I'm a child. I'm a child. Okay.
What are you doing, Bruno?
So So Ian, my cat decided to show up for this fight.
That's great.
So there's three dudes with swords up. Mm-hmm. And both Indigo and Trebbiano are bleeding out on the ground.
Yep.
All right, I mean, screw it. The guy who just stabbed Indigo, I'm going to stab him.
Okay.
The death machine here.
Go for it.
Death machine time. Perform some back alley surgery to cut out their hearts. Whatever. It's hard to come up with lines while spinning around death machine. Oh. No. That's a four. Nope. All right, screw it. I'm making another attack.
Okay.
Okay, that's a 17.
That's a hit.
Ooh. Aha! For 1 point of damage.
1 point of
got
damage.
Got him!
Ah! That hurt! Indigo, what are you doing?
I'm gonna cut this guy.
You're starting to feel a little lightheaded. You got one hand clamps to your gut. You raise yourself back up to your feet. Get your sword.
Come on, Indigo. A 10.
10 is a miss. You feebly kind of swing the sword, and he easily sidesteps it. Trebbiano, what are you doing?
What's she? Hang with me here. What is she wearing for shoes?
Some very nice calf-high boots.
You cut out for all of that one more time?
Ah, yeah, yeah. Some nice boots goes up to just below the knee.
Laces.
Yeah, laced up the front.
Laces, laced up boots.
I'm gonna tie your shoelaces together.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Would you consider it a weld, a shackle, or a chain?
What? Would I consider what a weld, a shackle?
Her laces.
Yeah. A weld, a shackle, or a chain? I don't think so.
What is happening?
I don't know. What's going on here?
Define weld. No.
No, weld is like metal, right? All those things sound like metal.
I forget whether it was weld or wield. All right, yeah. I'm just going to try to, like, if I can't do anything, I'm just going to try to tie her shoelaces together.
You can do things. You're bleeding out. You're definitely starting to feel weak, but I haven't given you any penalties on any kind of rolls. So you can sort of last gasps do shit here.
I break her foot with my anchor.
Okay, great. So you slam your anchor onto her foot. Give me an attack roll.
20.
Then, yeah, okay. So dragging yourself across the floor, you lift up the anchor and slam it onto her foot. Roll me some damage.
4.
4 points of damage. You hear the satisfying crunch of bone as the light, supple leather of her boot is clearly no actual armor. And she screams in pain. You son of a bitch! She then starts limping away from you, pulls open the door and starts limping out the door and says, just kill them! Just kill them and bring me Castor's head! And she limps out the door. Son of a bitch! Damn it! And then, walks out the door.
I'm gonna go through that door.
Meanwhile,
I guess it's not my turn anymore.
Yeah. That's basically your attack is your round there. I was going into her turn. So let's see. I've got two of the guys continue to attack Indigo and one Bruno.
This might be the end
for Indigo. I think I've asked you this every single round. Your armor class is what again?
Still 4.
Still 4. 4. just barely a miss. Okay, so the two of them come swinging their blades at you, and you duck behind one. Another one catches you on across the chest, but your armor actually blocks it from doing any real damage. And the other guy who swung at you and missed looks at the guy who just cut you across the chest, and he says, "Not the chest, the head. Take his head." The last one stabs at Bruno. Oh, and rolls a natural 20. Bruno,
I'm a child.
You take 6 points of damage.
Well, I'm also at zero.
Yeah.
No.
Roll me.
I can hear the darkest dungeon gong death's door 3 times in a row.
roll me d8 and percentile.
Yeffy's gonna have a bad day back.
She tunes in next week. We have these 3 icons here. She's alone.
That would be pretty funny. 81 and 2.
Oh, thank God, it's low. It's low.
So he actually catches you with the flat of the blade rather than the edge, and it's just an awkward shot, and it slams into your elbow. Let's see, you're dual wield, so it probably doesn't matter which one, but these left. It's your right elbow, and you hear a crack, and you feel like the bone there has broken. Your hand goes numb, and you drop the dagger you were holding in your right hand to the ground. What do you do?
That was my surgery hand!
What do you do, Bruno?
There are 3 dudes still up here?
Yeah.
I mean, whatever. I stabbed the one who I dealt 1 point of damage to last time.
Okay.
Can I back up and throw the dagger at him?
I will allow that. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'll do that instead.
When you say back up, are you backing towards the bar or towards the door, the front door?
Towards the front door.
Okay. You back towards the front door and you fling a dagger.
Yeah. All right. This is ever so slightly better. 14?
That's a hit.
Ah. These have been some lucky rolls. This is not my forte, incidentally. For 1 point of damage again.
Okay. Amazingly, that's enough. So your dagger sticks right into his eye. And then he just drops to the ground.
Yeah. That's what we call an eye exam. Looks like I'll go to my new job as a private eye. Tell me about Cyclopses. Anyway, I hope Indigo lives. Indigo, stay alive! Stay Indigo. Alive, buddy!
Yeah.
Indigo, it's your turn. What are you doing?
Great. Watch out. Yeah, I'll turn and, I assume that, I'm bleeding out of a lot of places. So yeah. Just, like, yeah. Yeah. A
still
big
got that massive
blood.
Gut wound. Still got that massive gut wound that you're, like, got one arm clamped to try and keep the guts in your...
Still got body. That. I'll spit at one of the guys and yell, "I told you I was hard to kill, you bastards!" And I'm gonna try to
stab him. Excellent.
Oh, 24.
That is a hit. That is a hit.
For 5 points of damage.
Okay, he goes down. There's just the one remaining, Trebbiano. What do you do?
I told you, I'm running out the room. Where'd she go?
Okay.
That door. I'm getting up. We're going.
You pull yourself up. You go stumbling through the door, which leads into another smaller room. It looks like a bit of a storage chamber. You can see that she's on the opposite end of the room. It looks like a dead end. There's just like boxes and sacks and barrels sort of stacked up. But she's at the other end where there's a blank wall. She has pushed a piece of the side of the wall aside, revealing a secret door, which she is stepping into as she looks back at you. You go stumbling towards her. What do you want to do?
Can I get there in time?
You want to in time to do what?
I mean, hurt her?
Yeah, you go. You go stumbling forward, swinging the anchor at her. Go ahead and make an attack.
Can I get a third 20? Can I get a third 20? No, decidedly not. I'm not even going to ask. So, it wasn't as critical. But
you come swinging the big heavy hammer just as she steps through the door, the wood paneling sliding shut, and your face goes completely pale, and you drop to the ground dead. Ugh. Fortunately, you had 3 rounds to bleed out.
Oh, that was round three.
Whoomp.
Does that count?
Oh, maybe. Quite possibly.
I wanted to know what she was up to. I wanted to know what was behind the door. Does it count? Wait,
I think it does. We're going to discuss this. There's a couple options here where this is going to go. So, Fury, we're going to have a conversation after I finish
Long
up
live the
fight.
King.
After I finish up the fight. So, Bruno, what do you do?
Should that guy have gotten his turn? I don't want to mess up the
You're absolutely right. You're at the start.
I can't.
He totally does. Let's see. Okay.
I'm so sorry.
You've got a smashed elbow. You're at the door. You're still appears to be going strong, although you've got that.
I can never die.
Both of his friends. Come get me, you stupid idiot. Big purple moron. What are you, the Grape Club? Yeah. The worst gang I've ever seen.
He actually decides to go after Indigo. He saw the dagger come across, but he knows Indigo's the target. And he rushes forward, swinging his sword wildly over Indigo's head. Indigo, you duck down. Bruno, what are you doing?
Is it possible for me to try to fix Indigo's critical wound in the middle of this combat?
Not in the middle of a fight, no. You need quiet time to do that.
All right, I'm down all my daggers now. Can I bust out the sling and sling him with one hand?
Yes, you can.
Okay, all right, I do that. One-handed.
Yep.
How much damage does a sling do? 1d4, I assume.
I don't believe that's right. I will look
it up. I think so,
but sounds about right to me.
It's not. That's a 10, unfortunately.
Okay. Yeah. The second stone goes clattering across the room. Indigo, what do you do?
I'm gonna go for another last gasp stab through the heart here against this guy.
Excellent.
That's a 20 the hard way.
That's a hit. Roll me some damage.
For 5 points of damage again.
Excellent. He also goes down. So Indigo goes rushing forward, smashing his sword down on the last guy. The guy collapses, bleeding everywhere. And then Indigo kind of numbly drops his sword and collapses on top of him. Bruno, do you immediately rush to Indigo's aid?
Yes. Oh, my God.
Roll me a surgery.
Indigo.
Max,
I would never do that. I gave Paul the fucking free attack or the actual attack you're supposed to have there.
Because
I have surgery, I'm adding my full level to this, right?
Correct.
Is that how that works?
Yep, intelligence plus full level.
And that, the 22.
Excellent.
That's
excellent.
Not lying.
In fact, 22 will both stop the. Will both. By the way, anybody following at home, I need to. I've been kind of adjusting the surgery rules as we played here, and I need to go back and re-edit the book. But so 22 is sufficient to both heal the critical and give him some wounds back. So you can go ahead and roll.
How much wounds is it?
No, that I forgot, so I'm gonna go look at the thing.
What?
A d20.
it's a d6 plus 1.
Okay. 2 points of damage, but
okay.
The crit is healed.
Indigo comes
to. What's the point?
Okay.
What's the point of this badge if I can't fix you? I don't know how to fix this with stabbing.
Okay, so Fury, Trebbiano. Here are the options. Number one, I will remind you all that you have fate points. And fate points can be spent at any time to... actually, I probably should have mentioned this earlier because you could have been using them.
No, I remember. Don't worry about it.
Okay, great.
I was going to ask if you can... while we're here and talking about fate points, I did have a question. Can I use a fate point on another character if it's my fate point? To have something affect. Like, if I'm watching a big stone crush a guy and I want to save the guy and he's not me.
I would probably allow it. So the rules dictate... Nice. So what the rules explicitly say is you can spend a fate point to allow... Spending a fate point allows a player character to avoid otherwise inevitable death or horrific critical injury. What happens instead of death or maiming is up to the GM, although the words frying pan and fire should be meditated upon. Sure. So, right. So, again, like, if you're, you know... I don't think we've seen this, but on the critical chart is limb loss, right? So rather than breaking your elbow, I could have taken your whole arm off, Bruno. That's a thing you could spend a fate point on to survive, to keep the arm. So Trebbiano, it's in your right here. You could, if you want, just spend a fate point and say somehow Trebbiano pulls through. But the other question you were asking about is Trebbiano does have the doomed talent. Which I will just read out for the benefit of our viewers. Doomed. Your death was foretold at an early age. Write down the means of your impending death. And if your character dies in this fashion, your next character begins one level higher than normal. Trebbiano, what was your dooming?
I was doomed to die by my own curiosity.
I think it counts. So, it's your call if you want to save Trebbiano or if you want to come back one level higher than normal. Which is delightfully vague, because I have not written down for myself.
You wrote the rules.
I don't think I
Yeah, does normal mean I come in... Does normal mean... Yeah, look. Act on an instinct you get right now. So we as the party are level 3. Does that mean I come in at level 2 instead of 1 or 4 instead of 3?
I don't think you gain a level. So I would say you come in at level 2 instead of 1.
Okay.
I have to go to the bathroom.
It's a question. Yeah, go for it. It's a question I should write down the answer to, because like when you get to like some point where you guys are like level 7 and somebody dies, I need to know the answer to that. I did do the XP, so you should be able to come back very quickly, so maybe it's just 2. I'll meditate on it. I prefer not to choose that here live on the spot. Oh, yeah, and William points out you may also get extra XP for character creation, because there are bribes. Yep.
I remember.
They're totally bribes.
I did that. That's how I got stuck with this guy.
So, are you spending a fate point, or or does Trebbiano not make it to season 2?
Let him die.
Aww.
I've been trying to kill him for the whole show.
Trying to kill him for a whole season. You've been trying to kill off Trebbiano.
We gotta break it to Yeffy real gentle.
Oh, alas.
Like the funniest way possible. Like, I come in, I have a new accent, I'm like, who are you talking? I'm not, I like kind of look the same. We'll figure it out.
Excellent. All right, well, you have 2 whole weeks to figure out your new character, or you can start rolling now, whatever makes you happy. Indigo comes to in Bruno's arms, bloody, in this dingy bar, bodies strewn about, blood everywhere. Bruno himself kind of nursing this broken elbow, had to do his work one-handed. It's amazing he did as well as he did.
Hi, Colleen!
Should have given him... Colleen!
Hi, Colleen! Hey, sweetie. Yeah, sorry.
Wow, yeah. Indigo is gonna pull himself to his feet very groggily and kind of limp his way towards the door where he saw Trebbiano go through.
Excellent. You head into... so Indigo walks, follows the streak of blood through the door into a small storage room with some boxes and barrels and the dead body of Trebbiano lying on the ground, and that's it.
I'm gonna Indigo will like drop to, you know, like take a knee over Trebbiano's body and like Careful. Say a couple prayers to all of the different gods he knows, and take Trebbiano's anchor and the bird.
Yeah, I want to remind you that there is a live bird strapped to my back.
Yeah.
I fell forward. We're fine.
What was the bird's name? I've forgotten.
Salty.
Oh.
And then I'm gonna look.
Oh no! Go ahead.
I'm gonna look to see where Drakilda went, using my follow trail talent.
Oh, excellent! Go for it. Go ahead and roll it.
Great.
Do you guys want to know what magic Trebbiano took that would have been useful right now?
Was that what you were asking about there? About the
yeah,
the
not know you knew any magic.
I took knock.
Knock.
You mean this door right here that would have been really useful to get through? Yeah.
Excellent. Alas.
Yep.
Just a second. Intelligence text. Okay.
Yep.
That's pretty good. 15?
Okay. You follow her. She's left some bloody footprints, along the, on the ground here, and they seem to just go right up to a wall, a blank wall, and vanish. And they just stop right there.
Bruno,
just completely covered in blood. Now I limp into the room with my one arm still hanging to the side.
Bruno,
Patches following behind you and licking your elbow.
Thank you, Patches. Hang on, I'll get to Trebbiano. Hang on, here we go.
Trebbiano's dead.
God, I try to give Trebbiano one-handed CPR here. Live!
Does not.
Oh, I knew we picked the wrong god. Damn.
We gotta get Drakilda.
What?
Revenge!
Oh.
Bruno!
Oh, revenge. Okay, revenge. That's right, I like that. Give me 1 second here. I do a quick little self-surgery, which worked out excellently the last time I did it, to try to resolve my own critical wound.
Okay, go ahead.
Bruno's gonna make me kill himself.
I mean,
you could just straight up die right now, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're in big trouble either way here, I think. No, that's good, though. That is a 7 and 18.
You will cure the critical effect.
So okay.
You managed to set the bone and
knock my elbow back into place.
Yeah.
Oh, that hurts now. Dang it. It was numb before, which was much nicer. All right. I'll grab both my daggers. All right. If we're doing this, you know, let's freaking do it.
Great.
It's for Trebbiano. And Yeffy, she's dead too.
Yeffy's alive. I'm gonna try to see if I can find, like, this is a pretty obvious Scooby-Doo. There's a secret door here, so I'm gonna try to find it.
Roll me intelligence test.
This is a horrible idea.
Nine.
Okay. You don't find anything. You feel confident that you're right, that there must be a secret door here, but you're just not, you can't, like, is there a switch?
Hang on, this is how you revenge look for a door. I'll try.
Give me an intelligence test.
14?
Okay, eventually, finally, you find it, and as you push it open, it slides open, and you can see it just leads down a stoop in the back of the building, and it leads out into an alleyway. And as it opens up, a little bit of paper that was caught in the door jamb gently falls to the ground.
Paper?
I guess I pick that up.
Excellent. You grab it. It's a little smeared with blood, and you can see... some fingerprints, some bloodied fingerprints on it. But it appears to look like this. You can see this little this note that perhaps Drakilda. Oh, and I will I'll drop this up on your share here so that you can see it better. Man. Maybe
Acolyte is generous.
sorry, where is it? Here it is.
Damn, they really knew all about us.
Remind him of his promises. Or at least the most compelling part of this note. That's how you spell Drakilda. I was being much more literal.
Yeah.
Me too.
It sounds like you guys can see it. Does one of you want to read it out for the sake of the podcast?
Drakilda. The target is headed your way. He may be disguised as a mercenary and be accompanied by a bald halfling, a scrawny dwarf woman, or an acolyte of Manon. Attempts to make contact have elicited little. Have someone pass the purple palm to remind him of his promises. And whatever you do, do not lose track of our valuables again. This is on direct order from the Arch Lumen himself. The time of change is coming. Signed TWF, Magister Prosecute.
Okay, so that is in your folder there is the Tilda note.
Damn it. Can you follow her trail here at all?
I'll try. Do I see any tracks, any more bloodied footprints?
You do. It's not an odd gait. Clearly she was limping, but you can see the odd little spot of blood where it looks like she made her way down the alleyway.
All right, I'm going to follow her.
All right, revenge. Real quick, in the nicest way possible, I take all of Trebbiano's money. Just for safekeeping. Just,
you want anything else I have?
Excellent.
Just for safekeeping, just going to stick this in my bag. I think Indigo's already got that.
Okay. Well, I had 215 gold crowns. I have no say over it, so here he comes. I had 215 gold crowns, my brass birdcage backpack, a messenger bag with a wineskin, my book of 1,000 shanties, my bag of fish, my tinderbox, and the bird inside of the cage. And, of course, I had a beautiful scar running across my face, but point is moot.
Man. Trebbiano sure had some weird belongings. All right, I'll take this book of sea shanties and the money.
Excellent. Okay, you gather up Trebbiano's things. You stumble down the alleyway, and just to make a long story short, you follow the trail as it leads out the alleyway into a larger thoroughfare, and there's a good number of people, a good amount of foot traffic, and it's at that point that you look around and you see you've lost the trail. And you stop and you kind of lean against the building heavily and realize perhaps it's for the best because you're feeling pretty unwell still.
I look up at the air and I shout, revenge!
Excellent. Excellent.
All right. Well, we got to drop Trebbiano's body in the ocean or whatever. Maybe we should find a real priest for this.
Yeah. Is there a temple of Manon in Altdorf?
Possibly. I mean, it's Altdorf, so it feels like there probably should be, but you're not sure where to go.
Altdorf.
About it's Altdorf. Yeah. It's the biggest city in the Empire. Yeah. Man. If it's not in Altdorf, where are you going to find it?
In New York, Altdorf. This is where temples of Manon are.
But you're not really sure personally where to start looking for it.
Right. All right. I mean...
You go find the temple. I'll clean up here and try to do something about these horrible people's bodies.
I mean, just call the priest some more, right? We got attacked.
Well, yeah, but we don't want to... But that's... I mean, we could be... I don't want to fight a legal battle about it here, you know?
I mean...
It doesn't look good.
What?
Let's just pile them up in the basement of this inn and not worry about it.
I mean, that still leaves Trebbiano. How are we going to get Trebbiano's body anywhere?
We'll cover it up and we'll just carry it between the two of us to the Temple of Manon. And, you know, they can feed him to a whale or whatever that religion.
And then what? Say, hey, we have this dead body. Can you take it, please? We will answer. We will have no questions.
We'll say, well, if they ask questions, we'll figure it out at the time. First of all, we could. All right, if you think that's better, we can do it.
We've been attacked, actually.
Yeah. All right, before we do any of this, I want to search this whole inn for the dead bodies of the people, the rooms, if there are rooms behind the bar.
Yeah, it's not
the door behind the bar.
It's not an inn, it's just a tavern. There are no guest rooms. It's a pretty crappy small tavern. You look it over fairly quickly. There's little more besides the main room you were in. There is another room behind the bar that leads off into a small kitchen. There is the storage room that you were just in. That appears to be the gist of this building.
Okay. All right. I search the bodies of everyone to see if they have anything.
Sure. You find 8 shillings between them.
Blood money. Gah, take that.
they're wearing leather jerkins. They had short swords, and you can take any of that if you wanted. But other than that, each one of them had a particular purple garment of some kind.
I take some purple garments.
You do also find that every single one of them on their left breast has a tattoo of an open palm purple hand.
Okay. Okay. One more thing. Indigo, don't question what's about to happen. I cut off the parts of the skin where the tattoo is. I want to collect all the tattoos.
Okay. It's wet and disgusting. But you do it. Using your surgical skill, you remove a patch of skin. The tattoo isn't huge. It's not the size of a normal human hand, right? It's maybe an inch and a half tall. So you're able to cut that off and you remove it from each of your 3 victims.
Perfect.
4 victims. 5 victims. Five victims.
Unbelievable that we actually accomplished that. Actually, we should all be dead.
Indigo pours himself a tall mug of something from behind the tavern.
Excellent. Yeah, it's pretty weak ale, but you pour yourself one and down it.
And I also find a bucket of water and just dump it over my head.
Excellent.
To get some of this blood off. Bruno, for a guy who doesn't like getting implicated in legal problems, you sure do a lot of really questionable things.
Mostly when I'm led into them by you recently. So to be fair, now this, though, is for a future scheme. There's purpose behind this. So
great.
Ah, there we go. Let me just roll these up. God.
Yeah, Indigo will try to find someone on the street and tell him, go get the guards and the priests of Mor. There's a lot of death in this building.
Excellent. All right. So the priests of Mor are actually easier to collect in this neighborhood than the town guard. So a couple of priests of Mor show up fairly early, but you get the sense that you're not in a nice part of town, and that there seems to be a fair amount of hesitance to alert the guard. Go ahead and roll me fellowship, Indigo, if you want to press it, you can decide not to.
Yeah, I don't think Indigo really cares.
Okay, great.
As long as the priests show up.
Eventually, the priests of Mor show up, and they don't seem terribly surprised, nor do they, frankly, ask a lot of questions. They bring nice up their little hand cart. They start loading up. They start loading up the bodies.
Indigo will make a sizable donation for a burial plot for Trebbiano. And I insist on making it as whatever the Manon death rites are.
Oh.
If there are any.
Well, I mean, really should be buried at sea.
All right, we'll do it ourselves.
We could arrange that for you, but it won't be cheap.
How much?
10 cars.
Voice in your ear. You took 215 off my dead body, just saying.
Yeah. I'll give him 10 Carl.
We shall see to it.
All right. Well, should we say something? about Trebbiano?
Let's sing one of his sea shanties.
That's a good idea. All right. I'll flip through the book for the saddest sea shanty. The least we could do.
I guess we sing it back to the inn.
Excellent. The two of you.
Just tell me, old shipmates, I'm taking a trip, mates, and I'll see you someday in Fiddler's Green.
Excellent. That was a good show. Oh,
the
man.
The two of you mournfully make your way back to the inn. As you reach the common room of the inn and you enter, you see a familiar looking face turn and look at you from a table at the common room, holding a mug of ale. Oh my God, what happened to you guys?
Oh.
Who is it?
It is Franck.
Franck.
Oh, Franck. Oh,
nothing good.
Terrible.
Thank yeah, you. we got attacked by a cult.
Oh no, that's quite bad. Did you kill them? Did you kill them
Most
all?
Of them.
Well, that's good. All that's pretty one. Badass, Indigo. I have to give you that. You know, it's well done.
Look, we
claps you on the shoulder. Almost...
No, don't clap in there. He's in recovery.
I'm sorry.
We did not all make it out alive. This has been a very hard day for us. And where is Yeffy?
Yeffy is still with Merkel. Oh, my accent's all over the map tonight.
Okay, you're in shock. I understand.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeffy is still with Merkel. Where is Trebbiano?
Dead.
With the sea. Oh, yeah, dead.
Now, Fiddler's Green is a place I hear tell where the fishermen go if they don't go to hell.
That is really sad, you guys. That is really sad. We should go and we should have some drinks and you could tell tales of your friend Trebbiano. And that is really sad, you guys. Come on, bring it in.
All right.
Kind of brings the two of you into a very uncomfortable three-person hug. Ugh. Very awkward.
A lot of blood in this hug.
Yeah, there's a lot of blood in the hug.
Well, listen, I'm sure when Yeffy gets back, she will want to tell you, but she and Merkel, they are speaking with them. Oh, what was her name? Bathilde Flaschenschnüffler.
What?
Bathilde Flaschenschnüffler. She runs a shop. You know, it's right across the way from Merkel's. It's really it's actually really kind of nice. You know, they have she has a lot of she sells perfumes and whatnot. Yeffy went with Merkel over there to speak with Bathilde, because Yeffy seems really interested in this lady Atelka, who is doing business with our friend
Ernst.
Ernst, I'm really worried, you guys. I think Ernst might have ripped me off, you guys.
Oh,
I think that might have happened.
That's
I don't like good. It when people rip me off. I don't like it at
right.
all.
We sort of I don't like it when people stab me, so I'm kind of yep. focused on that right now.
Oh yeah. you should right. yes, you should come with me. Come well you know what helps with that? Vodka. Come on.
That does make sense.
Yes. Come back to my place. We'll meet up with Yeffy and Merkel
I'm just gonna need a quick bath real quick. All right. And if you hear just in general and general screaming, don't worry about it. Oh, I'm just going to be yelling. Just, yeah.
Out of curiosity.
I mean, you do you, Bruno.
Prongs.
What's that?
Does it help? Does a telco wear a lot of purple?
Purple? I don't think so, but I think I only saw her the once. You know, I think she's noble, or at least wants to be so, because she dresses nice, and she visits that perfume shop and whatnot. I don't know a lot about her, to be honest. I don't know. That's why Yeffy and Merkel went to go and talk to Bertilda.
I see.
They could find out.
Right. Well, I guess we can deal with that once Yeffy's back.
Yeah. Well, listen. If we're right, and this Ernst. Is ripping me off, you know. I'll make it worth your while to go down to Grisenwald and get my money back.
Great.
You're clearly a stout guy, Indigo, and I think you know you're pretty badass, and I think you could take care of business for me. And I think we could do a lot of business together. And I think this is the start of a really good good relationship, I think.
Yeah.
So you know, go freshen up, and we'll have some drinks, and we'll talk with Yaffe and Boris, and we'll make some plans. You know, it'll be good.
Okay.
Great.
See you in a few, Frog.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. All right. I'll head back to my place. I'll meet you there, yeah?
All sure. Right.
You guys are see you around.
Yeah, oh, man.
He heads out.
I'm going to draw a little halfling-sized bath in a big bucket here and just sob. Just plenty of sobbing. General.
Okay.
Yeah. Indigo will, I guess, get acquainted with this bird and
the bird.
It looks like not the kind of bird one normally keeps as a pet.
That sounds like Triviata, right?
Yeah.
Patches comes over and kind of.
Oh man.
Aline says, at least release the bird, guys.
Yeah. Well, we'll do it over the river where it will be at home and can find a bird mate, you know? Yeah. And do it in Altdorf.
Excellent.
Yeah. It'll be like a pigeon.
Probably it is a pigeon.
All right. I think unless you guys have other business that you want to deal with, I think we'll wrap up there for tonight. I know it's a few minutes early, but feels like a good spot to leave us for the end of our season.
Yeah, man.
Just we'll pick up season two, I think, with a meeting with Franck.
You know, I regret that moment where I said that we were at our lowest point, because I got to be honest, it has not been up since then. It has been, certainly been ups and downs. Yep. So there's that.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you guys for making our season finale an exciting one.
I wasn't
quite anticipating that.
But, don't thank me. Thank the knives.
I think we all lost sight of the fact that you were still pretty wounded going into that.
Yeah, we really did. We really did.
I was high on my max HP of 19, not on my current HP of 7.
You had a lot of chances to choose to not go in there.
I didn't even notice it until Christian said, "Oh man, my hit points aren't high." I was like, "Boy, I wonder what my hit points are." Oh, they're also not high. That's not good.
Oh no.
Wow.
All right. Well, for those following along at home, we are just really still at the very beginning of Death on the Reich. Still quite a lot of good stuff. And there's been plenty of death.
Yeah, I think it was
plenty of death.
William earlier was like, "Who could have imagined there could have been death on this Reich?"
Still lots more to come. Be very curious to see what new character Fury comes up with. So Fury will have to coordinate on that over the next couple of weeks. But you get a nice long break to get it figured out. Maybe even we will start next season maybe with a little quick flashback to what Yeffie and Merkel get up to. All right. Thanks, everyone, for joining us on this crazy journey. I hope you are entertained. And I wish you all a happy and safe 4th of July. And we'll see you in a couple weeks. Good night, everybody.
Goodbye.
Bye.